was just seated, and I found out that Brother Yinka was just preaching what I heard, and my pastor's wife, Pastor Odoi, decided to finish it all. But we will still share something. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. I surrender myself to you that I will speak your word and your people will hear you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. What I want to share today is something that has, you see, the purpose of Pastor. Pastor has sent me some things. I don't like, I have personally enjoyed him as my pastor, as someone that we have known for a long time. And so sometimes when he has some things, he will share it with me, he will send me emails, and I will read, and those things bless me. But we are showing a film in the church, and it is about prayer. And something happened to me in the course of this film, and I privately went to Pastor and said, I think I think differently. Because when you watch those prayers, not because we didn't know what they were doing or that we lack knowledge, but sometimes God will allow some things for you to see so that certain things can rise within, and then you begin to act out what is within. Now there is something within you, and I just said today I want to talk on what I call motivate yourself to pray. Motivate yourself to pray. You see, I want to go straight so that I spend as very little time as possible. Now let's turn to the text of today. Like I said, I will still read it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, I didn't know that she will, but I will still read it because I had it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 7. But if somebody is there, you can read. 1 Timothy chapter 2. All right, okay, I'm there. So I can read. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, Brother Yinka was busy speaking today about understanding. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Praise the Lord. I want us to step a little backward and then read the scriptures that we are very familiar. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You know we are very, very familiar with it. 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And then I would like us to go to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. If you are there, you can read. I'm still trying to open my own. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I want to make this as short but as practical as possible. Have you ever sat down to talk about somebody that you think needs help? And two of you just sit down. And you are talking. And you are talking. And you are talking. And then you look at the time. You have spent 30 minutes talking about the situation. Has it ever happened? And then when you say, let's pray about that situation, you pray for 5 minutes. It looks as if you have prayed for, when you were talking, you spoke for 30 minutes and you have not even started. Then one of you just said, let's pray about this thing. And then you prayed for only 5 minutes and it was as if you have prayed for 1 hour. I don't know whether it has happened to anybody. Or some nights I wake up and before I slept, I said to myself, I'll wake up at such and such time, I'll pray for this length of time. And then I said to myself, I won't look at the time now. I won't look at the clock in my room. Then I wake up and I pray and I felt I'd prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Then somehow within me, I just feel like by the side like this. To look at the time. And I said, it's not even yet 30 minutes. And the distance I want to go, I'm only struggling 30 minutes. Abba. So there's something that I said, motivate yourself to pray. When you go to the Bible, I'll make it very fast because we can't look at all this, but we just look. There are only two things when you sum up all the reasons why people pray in the Bible. There are only two that you can look at. One is they pray because they love God. So you can say love. And when you love God, it is possible for you to love men. So you pray for men. The second reason why they pray is because they believe that God will answer their prayer, and so they pray because they have a challenge. Look at it. Moses was conversing with God. He had his challenge. The first one was that he was a stammerer. So he conversed with God. You know, I can't take this assignment. I'm a stammerer. By the way, what's prayer? Prayer is conversing with God. Don't look at the sophistication of definitions and whatever. All that has nothing. It's conversing with God. You can do it when you are walking on the road. You can do it when you are sitting in the car. You can do it when you wake up and you just sit down and you just find yourself talking, praying, conversing with God. Or was it when Moses was by the Egyptians behind him, the Red Sea in front of him? And so he turned to God, a challenge. Now when you look at it, you will now see, what is it that motivates people to pray? Love or a challenge? Love or a challenge? The challenge could be within, it could be without. Within means you've come to a point where you feel this situation is a closed matter if God is not coming into it. It's a closed matter. Let me just share this. I was in the office. And my office is like this side, like this, just there. And I have a colleague, a lady, her name is Christiana, and she has the other office. And she picked up her phone and called me and said, are you free? I said, what is it? He said, I would like to speak with you. I said, okay. I left my office and walked to her office, opened the door. She said, can you close the office, close the door? I closed the door and sat down. And she said, something is bothering me. I said, what is that? She said, I'm just feeling that my life is empty. I said, just feeling that your life is empty. This is a very comfortable person. Very, very, I mean, financially comfortable. This is somebody that can wake up one morning and said, I buy a Lexus for my daughter. I buy a Lexus for my second daughter. You know when somebody is buying Lexus, just buy one like this, buy one like that. It's comfortable. I can tell you, the husband is very, very, very comfortable. So he said, I'm just feeling empty. And I said, okay. So why are you feeling empty? He said, some times back. He said, but you know my husband is a bishop. I said, hey, okay. Yes, you told me. He said, no, sometimes back when I pray, I get answers. But now when I pray, I don't feel I'm getting answers. So I said to her, can you tell me two of those situations that you prayed and you got answers? She told me one was when she was working in America. And they gave us her a program to write. She wrote the program and it never worked. She did everything that she knew, the program never worked. So she was driving in her car, going. And she said, God, you know, I've gotten to the end of my ability. I cannot do this thing. But you know, I know you can do it. And you can show me how to do it. You can even show me now. And he said, as she just said that thing, God just showed her, okay, write it like this. She turned the car and drove to the office. As she ran the staircase, she was not greeting anybody and went to her seat. As God was telling her, she was writing, and then went to the computer, typed, it worked. So I just laughed and said, okay. So what's the second one? He said, you know I'm an Igbo lady and I'm married to an Igbo man. I said, yes, I know. He said, I had my first child, a girl. I had my second child, a girl. I had my second, third child, a girl. Ah. I said, there's trouble. And my husband said, you know, I am satisfied. We should stop this thing. I looked at him. I said, this trouble you are bringing. I am an Igbo girl. You are an Igbo man. Even if you are satisfied, the other people, how do I face them? He said, she knew there was trouble. Trouble. So she went to God and said, God, you know, I'm an Igbo lady. My husband is an Igbo man. And there's problem at home. I have three girls. You have blessed me. But I need a son. If I take him again, I know it's from you. And it must be a boy. I say this thing to you. If I take him, I will not go for scan because I believe you. You have answered me today. Even if my husband will ask me to go for scan, I will not go. Okay, let's make a promise. If you give me a boy, I will give him to you and I will name him Joshua. Said, God, thank you that you have answered me. Said, the next month she took him. 2 months later, the husband said, you know, I said I will make it as practical as motivate yourself to pray. He said, the husband said, go for scan. She said she's not going. And she didn't tell the husband why she's not going. 3 months, the husband said, go for scan. What are you carrying? He said, I'm not going. I know I'm carrying a boy. The husband said, you are talking. Said on the 8th month, the husband said, listen, woman, I can't bear it again. You must go for scan. And she said, you can bear it for 1 more month. I'm not going for scan. please don't think I'm disobeying you. So the husband said, okay, I agree with you. Don't go for scan. One more month, we will see. So one month, she delivered. And behold, she had a male child. So they called the husband. The husband came. The husband contacted people at home. They gave name. Contacted this one. Before she left the house, she told the husband, you know, when I have this child, his name will be Joshua. So he said the husband contacted these other people, they gave a name. So the husband came to the hospital and gave the boy a name. Ah, it was not Joshua. And she was like, ah, how come? The husband went home. She was still in the hospital. And she said the husband had no peace. So the husband came the second day with another name and gave the boy a name. Ah, the husband went home. There was trouble. So the husband came to her. He said, it's like you told me that this child will be named Joshua. He said, yes. It's okay, so that I have peace. From now on, your name is Joshua. And then the man went home and came back and said, do you know that since the time I agreed with you that this boy is Joshua, I have peace? Then she asked me, why am I not having results like that again? And I laughed. And I was just writing this thing. So, and I said to her, there is nothing else motivating you to pray. Motivate yourself to pray. And she said, what do you mean by that? I said, we will discuss. Give me a time. Just excuse me. I'm doing something. So I say again, motivate yourself to pray. There's something in you that God has deposited. No wonder Paul turned to Timothy and said, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things means motivate yourself. Pray on it. Meditate means pray. That you are profiting. That thing that is inside you, that thing that is inside me will come out. So that you are profiting will appear to all. You are profiting means what is inside you has come out. Your neighbor cannot deny to see it. They said the people cannot deny the miracle that Peter and John did. Something came out of them. Let's continue. Very simple. Let's look at it. Where in the Bible did we see people pray because of love? Let's turn to Acts, like I said, so that I can finish a few of it. I have just about a few minutes. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We'll look at it. He said, now there were in Antioch, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. You know, there's nothing you give to God other than to worship Him. And you can only worship Him because you love Him. Because the love of God is in your heart. What do you want to give to God? Money? He owns it. Gold? He owns it. The Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to who? God. So what are you going to give? So they gave what God desires. Love. They loved the Lord. They ministered. They motivated themselves. They are not looking at what they wanted. They just went to God and they were praying. And they were praying. I had to mention these ones because they were men of like passion like us. But let's step a little to the master. What was the master looking for? The Bible said he was rich. And he was rich. Believe me, I will tell you. When we say, though he was rich, he became poor. It wasn't physical poverty that he was talking about. In his ministry, he was rich. If you are not rich, you will not have a purse that somebody will steal and they steal money inside. It's written in the Bible that the man that was holding the purse used to help himself from the purse. Helping yourself from the church purse means you are stealing church money. That's what it means. He was stealing from the church purse. The purse was not empty. That's why it was possible to take from it. And you cannot take the last one. If they give you 1,000 naira note and you are the purse holder and you carry that 1,000 naira note, the church will know now. Abba, you have stolen money. We gave you 1,000. Why are you stealing the 1,000? The church will know. So it must be many for you to do some small ones. And then pastor will say, can we give 50,000 for this place to be painted? You count 50,000 and give. And pastor will say, okay, tomorrow we are buying bus. You count the money of the bus and give. And pastor will say, somebody has a need. And you do. Because there was money inside. The Bible says, when they got to where they had people, they were thinking of what to do. He was not poor. When they went out and the holder of the purse was not there, it wasn't because they were poor. It was because he was there with Peter. The rest were not there. That's what the Bible records. Himself and Peter. And they needed to pay tax. He said, Peter, that's your job. Remember it now. It has to pay our tax. Or you carry your hook to the river. When you put the fish, I've spoken to the fish, you will carry gold from the water. It will be in his mouth. I've been going to the river. I grew up in riverine area to go and do fishing. It's not very common for you to see a fish that is coming to take the bait, carrying things in his mouth. Let's be imagining, some of us that are from the riverine area, you imagine how come that the fish carried gold. And when he came to take the bait, when the fish came to take the bait, the gold did not drop from the mouth. Because the fish had to make a decision. Drop the gold and take the bait. Yet the fish was able to take the bait and still carry the gold. Someone put the gold there. That cannot disappear. So he was not poor. But the Bible records, this man prayed and the sweat in his body was like blood. So what was he praying for? What motivated the master to pray? What was he praying for? He was not poor. He was hearing God. What was it that he was praying for? There is something he came for. He said, I came in the volume of the books written of me to do thy will, O Lord, the love of God. He came in the volume. He knew his purpose. And so he came and to do thy will. So he prayed. So his prayer was not, I want X, I want Y, I want Z. When I woke up in the night, and this thing came to me, and I was like, how do I share it? How do I say it? And I said, God, help me. Now, when Paul, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul will tell you, though poor, he made somewhat rich. If you read it, he told you the turmoil that he had, and yet, to make someone rich means you pray into this person's life. And what you speak into his life come to pass. So what motivated Paul to pray? It must be from within. Motivate yourself to pray. Now, when I watched the program, like I said, I came here to make it as practical as not just there. If we want to talk about prayer, different types of prayer, how to pray, oh God, answer you, oh, we can't finish it. But when I watched that program that Pastor was showing us, something snapped in my life. And what was it? I have cousins that I had written them off. I had people that were friends that I had written them off because they lived a life that I had considered a useless life. What it meant was I never had compassion. What it meant was I never really looked at the love of God. That me, before God saved me, I was useless. I was born, pastor had happened to be in my town when my father died. So he saw the way the people are. I think Madame has come and Madame has come. So it's not a story that I will tell you how, where I was born into. So I was useless. Completely useless. In that place, we say in the name of the Holy Samuel. That is what they say there. They replace the Holy Spirit. And here am I. For no work of mine, nothing that I did, some people prayed for me. And God showed mercy. So when I looked at that lady, how many of you have ever seen a drug addict? You know, when it's very easy to watch a drug addict. It's very easy to watch and say, oh, that lady prayed. The life of a drug addict is a nuisance to a normal person. First of all, he stinks because he takes his last resources to buy drugs. His speeches or actions are totally out of the ordinary. I had a friend when I was in secondary school. And I want to tell you. In secondary school, he was already taking drugs. And then he will come when he wants to take this drug. What will he do? He will dress his bed with white for whatever reason that he has to make the bed. He had white bedspread that he must put on the bed. The moment he brings out that white bedspread and puts it on the bed, you know that it's time to... we used to tell him that he climbs on a very tall tree. That's what we'll say, when he starts misbehaving, we'll tell him, have you climbed that tree? Are you on the tree? Or are you normal? Because we have to know whether it is time to beat you, to bring you to, or whether you are on the tree. And it is. So he would dress. He would go to the backyard because we had a palm estate owned by the school. So he would enter that side. It's a bush. He would take, when he comes back, his eyes will be bringing tears. He will climb the bed and will sit down and will cross his leg. And then when people are passing, he will do like this. That's one person passing. When the next person is passing this way, he will turn. And he will stay there until the next person will pass this side. So he will turn. And he will be there. When the next person is passing this side, he will follow you as somebody is walking. And I used to wonder, what type of life is this? And I called him, come. What is this thing doing to you? Then I didn't understand what it means to take drugs. It's not now that people are taught drugs. We knew that there's something called marijuana. That, well, we knew it was not good because the elders told us it's not good. I wasn't too far to read and to see how people suffer the effect of marijuana. So, and I will ask him, why are you doing this thing? Stop it. So when that lady went out of her way to pick a drug addict that will inject himself, a drug addict that will leave his work and sat on the street side, a drug addict that will be he was completely useless. Left his house, living on the street. And then the lady will go there. You're not going to meet a drug addict. For you to make friendship with a drug addict means you must part with your money. I'm telling you, you must, because each time you go to him, he needs money to buy the drugs. So it means you know this man is a drug addict. But I want to make friend with him. So I must part with my hard-earned money. You have to walk in love. That love can only be God's love. So the motivation to pray when the lady left to the church to gather people to pray was not because I want to save a drug addict. Was because the light, like Bronyinka, that's what I was saying, he preached, the light of the love of God was shining in his life. So he could see God in this person, even though today he's a drug addict. He could look at this person and say, this one can save God. Even though you are a drug addict, my God is able to bring you out of it. That is what motivates people to pray. The thing that motivates people to pray again is the word of God. When you read the word of God, let's look at it. Like I said, I want to tell stories to tell you the message I have. Because you all know the books. You read the Bible. Daniel said, I read from the books. Which book was he reading? The Bible. Daniel said, I read from the books. So when Daniel read the books, that the captivity will be 70 years. He said it's time to go. Our time is what? Up. You know why I choose Daniel? Go and read the history, the book of Daniel. Daniel was favored. He lived with the king. He became a governor in a strange land. So if praying for himself, the God of Daniel walked in Daniel to the extent that the wife of the king knew that there is something in Daniel. When his father died and his son became a king and had a dream, and he was trying to say, why are you worrying yourself? I know a man in your father's kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy God walks in. All this one, you are calling this one, calling the other one. Go and call him. He will give you the interpretation. So Daniel, as far as his life was concerned, he was no more a slave. People were saving him. So he's praying to say, our captivity is over. Was not for his life or for his children. He was a governor. They shared the country and gave him an area to rule. Read it in the Bible. The king shared the country. Okay, that was not enough. The king now said, other princes, that is, you are a bona fide prince. It's like me coming to Lagos and then the Akiolu, I think that's the name of the Oba, now said, all the prince of Lagos will report to me. Oh, you know, sometimes you have to read the Bible and imagine it in today's life. Or I walk into England today and for reasons, Queen Elizabeth just got, I don't know what will happen. And he said, okay, now Prince Charles, Prince William, and Harry, and the rest of them. You know, there is a man that there is the spirit of the Holy God inside. Today, all of you report to him. So as far as Daniel was concerned, he had no lack. The prince of the land all reported to who? Daniel. Yet, Daniel found in the books. So if you are not reading the Bible, there is nothing to motivate you to pray. It is in the Bible that you will find what God has made you. And then you begin to question yourself. Am I manifesting? Is my profiting appearing to all men? Then you pray. And I will tell you. You know, when we started and we prayed at the Ibo Street. When I come, by that time I was not speaking in tongues. So I will dodge pastor. I'll tell you the truth. Because pastor will not hide that you must speak in tongues. So the man has laid his right and left hand on me, short of laying his leg and his bow on me. I didn't speak in tongues. So when I come, I will look where is pastor standing. So that today, pastor will not call for people who want to speak in tongues. So I will go to my own corner and down like that and pray. And pray, and pray, and I will pray, and I will say, God, hey, me too, I can speak now. I can speak this thing. I can speak this thing. So in the night, I will wake up. I say, I can speak this thing in tongue now. But you know when you are not speaking in tongue, you are not speaking in tongues. The day I spoke in tongue, I did not pray for it. I woke up in the night. I left my bedroom. My wife was still sleeping. And I went to the guest room and I knelt down. And as I wanted to pray, I just started praying in tongues. I think I had prayed like 30 minutes or more and suddenly realized, I'm praying in tongues. I smiled and I felt good. I looked around. I'm telling you how I did. I don't know whether you have ever prayed and you to a point where you feel happy. That is, you just pray, and then you feel happy. Or you pray and you cannot stop. I don't know whether it has happened to you. It has happened to me. That is, you said, I want to pray for 1 hour. You do 1 hour. And you didn't even know you have done 1 hour. When you now look, you have done like 2 hours or more. And you cannot stop. You just feel happy. You just feel good. You just look around. You have found something in the Word. Daniel found things in the Word. And he prayed. You pray because it is, the motivation is because it is a commandment. Jesus said, men ought always to pray. So you motivate yourself. My master asked me to pray. So if you believe in Christ and you believe he's your master, of course, in the office, when you are working and he gives, madam, you know, you have an office setting. The MD gives an assignment. Even the EDs are standing until it is finished. Even the EDs that they are just in the board together are standing until it's finished. And they will call you. Every three minutes, how far with the MD's assignment? Let the ED give the assignment. You are head of department. Will not let you breathe. He will call you every minute. Where is the assignment? How far? He will come to your office. And how far? Have you finished? So if the master has given us an assignment, we should be motivated to pray. Because it is a command. It is an assignment. Let me read the things that I wrote here. I said, challenge yourself. If you do not challenge yourself, then there's nothing to pray about. You challenge yourself as a result of the goal that you have set for yourself. You challenge yourself because you've set a goal. And you have made this goal so big that it is humanly what? Impossible. And you looked at it and said, the only way I can do it is with who? God. So you challenge yourself. You remember I said, what motivates people is either love or challenge. The challenge could be love, but I choose to call it challenge. For instance, when a man, I read in, there's one book, I can't remember the book I read. There's one German woman who was praying for Nigeria. And she spent 20-something years, all she prayed that Christ manifest to the people of Nigeria. And she was only satisfied the day she saw a Christian, a proper Christian that came from Nigeria. And I asked myself, 20-something years, you kneel down in the morning, you are praying for Nigeria. You are not praying for your child. You kneel down in the afternoon, you are praying for Nigeria, the people of Nigeria, that they should know God. You wake up in the morning, you are praying for Nigeria. You go to church, you are praying for Nigeria. 20-something years just committed herself to praying for Nigeria. A German woman. That was a goal that could not be done by human effort. If you like, bring billions and share in Nigeria. People will collect the billions. If you don't take time, some will collect and dagger you. But that woman spent her life praying for people. She set an impossible target. Because you are facing what is an impossible situation. Humanly speaking, it is not possible. It's in the Bible. Jesus, the people showed us example, which I will take one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. The king, when you read 1 Chronicles chapter 20, the king got the news that 20 kings have gathered together. And several kings have gathered together, and what was their plan? To come and overrun Judah. The man looked at his ammunition, looked at the army men, looked at everything that he had, and compared it with the others, and knew, if I go this battle, physical for physical, it was impossible to triumph. So what did he do? He turned to God. And God told him, all right, now that you have come to me, don't carry those your ammunition, because this battle is not about your ammunition. Just do me an instrument of praise. And then, it was difficult to convince the people that the man had to say to them, you see, believe the Lord your God. You know, it's not easy for me to say I am the general, or let's take the man that God has put, pastor walks out and said, we are going to fight Adoju Elegba. And we asked pastor, what is the fight about? He said, hey, we are going to fight. We want to win. How many of us? Count. 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said, you know, in this fight, it's not a spiritual fight. It's a physical fight. And the Adoju Elegba people knew ahead of time that we are coming to do what? Fight. And he said, well, just as I was praying in the office, God said we should go for this war, that we are going to fight at Adoju Elegba. But we are not going to carry any instrument of war. Ah, pastor, is there something wrong with you? Those people knew we are coming to fight. And so he told them, believe the Lord your God. You'll be established. Believe his prophets and you will prosper. Because it's not easy. There are some things said in the scripture that when you begin to think about them, it looks far-fetched. It looks impossible. Okay, that is that one. Let's come to the New Testament. I had some documentaries that I watched about the early kings. The reason was I wanted to think of how the early kings were thinking and behaving. And I saw that, you know, one day I was asking him, what is the meaning of Kabiesi? Remember? And he said, Kabiesi is like a man that you cannot question his actions. That was the behavior of the early kings. So, when I watch the Roman Empire. And I watched one of them. He took pleasure, he had lions. And when he's angry with you, he dug a pit, a very large pit like this. I read it and I could imagine he dug a very large pit like this. That when they throw you in, you cannot climb out. Then he has many lions around there. When you offend him and he's angry, he will throw you into the place and will laugh. He says, see, my lions are having the mastery of him. My lions are having mastery of him. Because the man will try to fight. Of course, how can you? And they finish eating the man. Of course, then nobody asked. Imagine Esther wanting to see the husband. This is husband, not a... yes, he's the king, but he wants to see the husband. And then you have to go according to the law. So, the lady said, this one that I'm going is not according to the law. So I may live or I may die. But something inside motivated her. And then what did she do? She went round to her uncle. Said, gather the people to pray for me. I myself will do what? Pray with my... So there must be something that you have found out that must motivate you. Motivate yourself to pray. It is in the word. It is the things that are happening around that are not according to the things of God that should motivate me, that should motivate you to pray. Oh, I hear Boko Haram in Borno and that part of the world, country. Is something motivating you to pray? Because there are Christians there that we have to pray. Now, let's come to the New Testament and I close. Like I said, I came to tell a story that I looked at it that every Christian, you cannot pray except the motivation to pray is from within. When he used to walk out of his shop to come to the church to pray, it wasn't because somebody told him that the prayer time is 12 o'clock. If it was because somebody told him that the prayer time is 12 o'clock, he will default. It's because the motivation came from within. Let me show you this, and then we close. Like I said, I came to tell stories, and I call it motivate yourself to pray. The early people knew how to pray, and sometimes they got results they never expected. We know in Acts chapter 12, Peter was arrested by the king. The king then were absolute kings. If they look at you like this and they are not happy, and they just say, all they need to say is, I'm not happy with Mr. Lagbaja, he's dead. Or, you come to greet the king. You came on your own, you want to greet the king, and he just turns away. He didn't answer your greeting. You are dead. They say he didn't show you the scepter. You are dead. The killers are just waiting by the side. Let us see how whether this man makes the king happy or angry. You just walk in, the king turns away. They just cover you with cloth. These are one of the useless ones that is making the king angry. They kill you. Nobody asks questions. Nobody asked question. And the king caught Peter. And the king put Peter in prison. The king was afraid of this Peter. This is the man that raised the cripple to walk. This is the man that walked and his shadow is healing people. So the king was afraid of him. And he said, this man is not an ordinary man. When he's lying down, read the Bible, you see. He put an army man by this side of Peter. And put an army man by this side of Peter. So, the army men and the Peter were lying down like this. If Peter must turn, that means the army men must give some small gap for him to turn. So, to be sure that he is what? Secured for me to kill tomorrow. And then he locked the door and locked the gate and put people to watch the gate and wait. Just imagine it. That a man that the country Nigeria has decided to kill. They've sentenced him to death. And Jonathan now said, let's say they sentence him in Lagos. The strongest battalion is Ikeja Cantonment. That's where the headquarters is. And say they send to the Major General that is in charge of that place and said, make sure you keep this man till tomorrow so that we execute him. When I need him tomorrow, you must do what? Bring him to me. Say, yes, sir. And then people prayed. The angel appeared, took him out. Peter himself had given up. He wasn't afraid. If you read the Bible, you will see that the state of the man was such that he had become a spiritual man to the extent that sometimes he never knew when he is in the physical or in the spirit. And so when the angel tapped him, said, oh yeah, he thought he was having a vision. He went. He said the gate of his own accord did what? Opened. And they walked out. And when they passed the first turn, passed the second turn, the angel departed. And he came to himself. Now, I want you to look at this area and motivate yourself to pray. Pray as a winner. Pray as the man God has sent to conquer this area. Pray as one. I wrote something here, which I want to end with. I said, what is it that you are challenging yourself with or is challenging you? There is something in you for the church. Pray it to manifest. For the benefit of the church, God, there is nobody I found in the scripture that became a Christian that God did not deposit something inside. Bring it out so that the church will profit from it. There is something in me for the world. Pray it to manifestation. Can we rise? You see, I just thank God for some things.